Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody in our overflow. Good morning, everyone who is joining us via Facebook and YouTube. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle, where our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford, where the Lord has blessed us to be able to assemble in his name for another service. Amen. 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 Let us be happy and joyous this morning that he has brought us through. We are going to open up this morning with prayer. Then I will give you the scripture. And then before you know it, we will be into that good word that has been prepared for us this morning. Amen. So if we can all rise here in the sanctuary, in the overflow, in our homes, so that we can open up with a word of prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us through. We thank you, Lord, for when the world was worried, we knew to hold on to you, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because you prepped us. You said, my brethren, count it all joy. Hallelujah. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations with all the stuff that has been going on, with all the fear, with all the worry about the virus. You told us to count it all joy and to trust in you. Our faith has been tried and we still trust in you, Christ Jesus. And we thank you, oh Lord, for people have been through a lot, but we still know who you are, Christ Jesus. We still know you are our Lord and our Savior. And we know we would not make it through if it weren't for you, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prepare our hearts and minds this morning, Lord Jesus, to receive your word. We need a refilling this morning, Christ Jesus. Write your word on our hearts. Prepare our hearts and minds right now to receive that word. Prepare our ears right now to receive that word. Settle any chaos that is going on in any household right now that we would receive your word. That your people would hear a word from you this morning that we can trust in, that we can rely on, that we can hold on to, so that when the world is worried, we would simply say, our Lord said, peace, be still, because we trust in you, Christ Jesus. Lord, prepare the voice of our pastor. Prepare his heart and his mind that he would deliver what you have prepared for us so that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. So with that, I'm going to go to our scripture for this morning. It is in the book of Romans. I will be reading for your hearing Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17. Amen. The word of God reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen. Amen. The Lord has blessed us. He has prepared us. He has prepared our pastor. Let us welcome our pastor this morning, so that we may receive the word that God has placed in him for us. Amen. 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 Amen.
Good morning and God bless you. You may all be seated. So glad to see all of your smiling faces. Amen. I do give honor to Christ, my Lord and Savior and head of my life. I thank him for life, health, and strength. I thank him that I've been begotten by the blood of Jesus, and that today I am a born again and blood washed believer. And this world is not my home, but we look for another city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. First, I want to start out by saying a special thank you to some of our special guests who are here today. I want to thank God for Jennifer Foote. I want to thank God for her daughter, Lennox, and I believe she brought one of her friends along with her. I just want to make mention of that because they are guests today from Florida. I believe they came up from Coral Gables, Florida, and are in the city of brotherly love and thought it not robbery to come and fellowship with us. Amen. So we want to thank God for them. I'm hoping and praying that they brought some of that Florida sunshine and heat along with them, because it's a little nippy here in West Philadelphia. But I thank God for them. I thank God they're a part of our Wednesday night New Jersey-based Bible study. Been faithful from the very beginning. Was actually a part of its founding. And so I thank God for their faithfulness and that they're with us here today. I also want to thank God for Lynn Rossiter and David Craig. They're in town. They're not that far away. They're out in Chester County. But they are also here with us today. And I want to honor and thank God for them. Amen. This morning, before we pray, I do want to make mention that we are praying for Minister Norman Lyons, who has been in the hospital this past week. And so we're asking everyone to keep him in prayer and to heal and to strengthen his body. Amen. I also want to mention that on this past week, not unlike any other week, our news has been populated with story after story of gun violence. And regrettably, it has affected our Christian community. Unfortunately, on this past week, one of our youngsters, Cody Butts, along with his father, Joshua Butts, were victims of gun violence. Sadly, Joshua Butts, the father, did not survive. Cody Butts, who is six, is yet in the hospital and has undergone multiple surgeries. And we're praying that God keep him alive, because he has nothing but life in front of him. Okay? And so we want to pray for them specifically, and obviously their family, not only the Butts family, but also the Ellis family. Let's pray for them. Let's care for them. Let's love on them. And pray that the will of God would be done in their lives. Amen. So with that being said, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. This morning we're going to be in the Gospel of St. Mark, the very first chapter, reading verses 40 through 45. We're going to add to the witness out of the Old Testament. The 25th Psalm and the 14th verse. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. But I am going to invite you to follow along in whatever version you may have. Whether you have hard copy, electronic, on your iPad, iPhone, what have you. Again, the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Mark. I'm going to read the story of the leper, verses 40 through 45. And then we're going to add to the witness out of the 25th Psalm, verse 14. Amen? So if you're there, you'll see these words. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' And then Jesus, who was moved with compassion, stretched out his hands and touched him and said, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he, being Jesus, strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone. Go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction." This morning, I want to talk from the subject, can God trust you with a secret? Can God trust you with a secret? Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is thy name. We thank you for this, the Lord's Sunday morning. We thank you that this morning it was in our heart and in our mind to be in the house of the Lord. Whether in person or virtually, we felt a need and a desire to be connected with you. So grant us the privilege to dwell in your presence. Honor us with your grace. Honor us with your presence. Honor us with your power. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us hearts that are receptive to the word of God. As we look to the holy Mount of Zion, speak unto us. Cause us to receive, hang on to, and cherish the very word of God, because your word is life-giving and life-transforming. And Father, we pray this morning for our minister, Norman Lyons. Pray that you would heal his body, strengthen him now. God, give him the health and the vigor that he might return to the mission field. Strengthen not only him, but his family, his wife, his daughters. Strengthen them, bless them, and encourage them now. You said in your word that healing is the children's bread, and we claim it now from our Father. Father, we ask you, as the God of all comfort, that you would send the comfort that comes from God. Remember both the Butts and the Ellis families. Remember Cody this morning. Touch, heal, strengthen this little body, God, and get him back the days that the enemy tried to steal. God, we claim the victory right now in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. our God, your God, is a strategic God. Our God is a strategic God. And if you're taking notes today, that you don't have to wait till midway through the sermon. You might want to write that one down. And the reason why I encourage you to write it down, because this is what I have found. Oftentimes, especially we as believers, we are often enamored with or impressed by the power of God, the might of God, the strength of God. We sing songs about the awesomeness of God. We love the fact that our God is an omnipotent God, all-powerful God. And I think sometimes it causes us to underestimate or even in some cases fail to realize that our God is a strategic God. Because we're so impressed with his power that we fail to realize that oftentimes he's able to garner the victory not through power, but through his wisdom, by implementing a strategy. Are you with me? I think we're all familiar with the creation account. It's there. Genesis 1 lays it out. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Goes through the days. It says on the first day, he said, let there be light. There was light in the middle of nothing. And the second day, he created the firmaments, which we know as the skies and the heavens. Third day, he created dry lands, seas. He separated that, created plants and trees. Began to grow, and he looked at it and said, what's good? On the fourth day, he created the greater and lesser lights, what you and I know as the sun being the greater, the moon and the stars, the lesser. Looked at that and said, that was good. The fifth day, he created the creatures that live in the sea and habitate the sea, and he created those creatures that would fly and inhabit the heavens. And he did that on the fifth day and looked at that and said, that was good. Day six, he created the animals that would live on the earth, not in the air, not in the sea, but on the earth. And along with them, finally, he created mankind itself. Elevating mankind by noting to us that of all the things created, it was only mankind that was created in the likeness and image of God himself. This is in your Bible. This ain't nothing new. This is in your Bible right now. He also notes for us that on day seven, he rested. Day seven is as much a part of the creation story as day one. And on another Sunday, I'll work that out and show it to you. That's not today, but that's all of that is the 7 days. Now, this is me. This is the opinion of the one who's talking. I believe God could have done all of that in one day. That's my opinion. That's not gospel. You got to find. That's Pastor Jonathan. That's my opinion. I believe because he's omnipotent, because he's also powerful, almighty, I believe he could have done all of that in one day. But I believe he took time with it because he had a strategy. He was after something.
And it just wasn't the final product. But he wanted to lay it out in steps and in order, because in doing so, he reveals to us that have been created his strategy. Are you with me? Find somebody somewhere and just tell them God's got a strategy. And just as God had a strategy for creation, Christ Jesus also had a strategy for his preaching ministry. And it's found right here in the first chapter of Mark. And we're going to look at it. Are you with me?
Amen.
If you're with me, say I'm with you. So here it is. I'm going to read Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 21. And I'm going to flow it down to our text. Okay? I've been preaching it bit by bit. I'm going to read the whole thing. And I want everybody to look at me. Everybody. Home, look in the camera. Look at me. There are any number of ways to read the Bible. Many of us, we read it devotionally. Get up in the morning with our coffee. We read it. That's called reading devotionally, just getting it in. As preachers, we often read the Word of God homiletically. We read it because we're going to preach it, and so we read it that way. You can read the Bible theologically. Looking for the big image of God in the Word. There's any number of ways you can read the Word of God. You can read it fast, you can read it slow. But what I want to challenge you to do today, and to continue to do as you read the Bible this day forward, I want you to read it strategically. And by that I mean, when you read the Word of God, look for God's strategy. Okay? That's how I want, because that's how we get ready to read it. We're going to read it with a strategic eye on it. Looking for God's strategy. In business circles, it is very common to hear business executives talk about a 5, sometimes 10, sometimes even 25 year strategic plan. Very common in business circles, especially among senior executives. What is our strategic plan for the next 5, 10, 25 years for this company? And they begin to chart it out. 25 years, they're laying it out. Saying this is what we're going to do and how we're going to accomplish it. You follow me? What you hold in your hands this Sunday is God's strategic plan for the world he created. It's in your hand. It's laid out. Every book, every chapter, every verse is another insight into God's strategic plan for the world he created. Right there. You follow what I'm saying? And if you're going to get the best, you got to read it with a strategic eye, or else you'll read it and you'll never see God's strategy in it. It'll just be a story of the leper, which is cool. We dance on it, shout on it, whatever. But you'll never see God's strategy. Okay? So that's the better part of the preaching today. If you don't get anything else, learn how to go out of here and say, you know what? I'm going to start reading my Bible strategically so I can see God's strategic plan. Are you with me? God had a plan for creation. Jesus had a strategic plan for his preaching. Here it is. Here we go. Mark 1:21. If you get this, you got it. Right here in this first, if you get this, you got it. Then they went into Capernaum. Okay? Read it strategically. And immediately on the Sabbath,
He entered the synagogue and taught. Anybody see the strategy? I'm going to read it again slow. Every word counts. They went into Capernaum. What is Capernaum? Capernaum is a city or a town. They went into a town, a city. This one was called Capernaum. And while there, when the Sabbath arrived, Sabbath is what? That's the worship day for the Hebrews, the Jewish community. They worship on the Sabbath, worship day. Waited for the Sabbath. He may have gotten in on a Thursday. And he just kind of hung out. But on the Sabbath, look, he's got a strategy. On the Sabbath, he, along with everyone else, went where? To the synagogue. They went to church. And when he got to church, Jesus had a habit of teaching. Because in Jewish custom, when it came to the synagogue, along with worship, the singing, and the prayers, the priests would always take the scrolls, which is the Old Testament at that time, and they would allow a man to stand and give, to read the scroll, read the scripture, and give what theologians call exhortation. They could read it and explain it and lift it up and cause the people to understand what was written in the scroll. And Jesus would take advantage of that opportunity and what? Read the scrolls. Okay? That is his strategy for his preaching ministry. Here it is. It's there. I'm going to give it to you. His strategy involved the Sabbath. It involved the synagogue. And it involved teaching. Okay? You're going to see it everywhere you go. That's his strategy. You got it? If you got it, say, I got it. Here we go. 22. And they were astonished as his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What were they astonished with? Huh? His teaching. No, it's not. Guys, this is not a trick question. I'm not trying to. What were the people astonished by? His teaching. His teaching. Right? Look at the word. But they were astonished at his teaching. Right? Let me give you a hint. Here it is. I'm piecing it together. Not his miracles. Why? Because he hadn't done nothing yet. Right? All he had done was taking the scrolls and gave exhortation. And he left them breathless. They said, never have any of the scribes taught like this. Right? Why? It's his strategy. Wait for the Sabbath. Right? Why did he wait for the Sabbath? The Sabbath was the day that what? Every Jewish person went where? They went to the synagogue. So that now he adds, I'm going to wait for the Sabbath. I'm going to go to the synagogue because what? All of the Jewish believing community are going to be there. And when they come at the point of the service, when the scrolls are to be opened and read, I am going to ask for permission to read them and teach them. This is a pretty good strategy. If he's the Messiah of the Jews, where is the best place to go to get the word out? The synagogue on the Sabbath. You'll get it Wednesday, I guess, whenever you go over your notes. So here we are. So there is the Sabbath. 23. Now there was a man in the synagogue, unclean spirit, cried out, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, Holy One of God. 25, but Jesus rebuked him and said, be quiet and come out of him. Right? Strategy. I'm not going to deal with it here. I'm going to deal with it later because he does the same thing later. So I'll deal with it then, not now. Okay? So he convulsed, the unclean spirit convulsed him and cried out in a loud voice and he came out of him. And then they were all amazed. so that they question among themselves, saying, what is this? Listen, what new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. The word I want you to focus on is doctrine. Doctrine is nothing more than a theological term that means teaching. That's all it means, teaching. And they are now connecting his teaching from the scrolls with his authority over the demonic spirits. And they say, what new doctrine is this? And it's all focused on his what? His teaching. You follow? He's got a strategy. You got to follow his strategy. So you have that. And then it says immediately his fame spread throughout all the region and all around Galilee. I want you to turn to Luke 4:31. You guys there? We're in Mark. Next book over is Luke. Chapter 4, verse 31. I'm just going to read the two verses. And again, look for the strategy. Same story, just being the account is just given by a different author, Luke, instead of Mark. But here's what it says. And then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on Sabbath. You see that? And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. 32, now in the synagogue there was a man who had an unclean spirit. You see it? His strategy was what? Teaching on Sabbath in the synagogue. You follow it? I'm trying to point something out. I just want you to know Jesus just didn't stand on the corner and just start preaching. He had a strategy. He would go to a town. That meant what? People were there. He would wait specifically for the Sabbath. Then he would join the town and go to the synagogue. And when they got there, he would take advantage of the scrolls and read them and teach. Right? Look at somebody and say, he's got a strategy. And it's working pretty good for him, right? Good, let's keep going. So we jump down to 32, because we got Peter's mind. We know that story, and we preached that, but in the interest of time, pick up at 32. So at evening, the sun sets, and they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole city gathered together at the door. And then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Again, he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Because they knew him. Again, this is what we were talking about earlier. Let me address it here. Earlier, when the demons speak, everything they said was true. He was, in fact, Jesus of Nazareth. No lie there. He was and is the Holy One of God. Nothing they said was untrue. And they should know him because being a spirit, they exist in the spirit realm where Christ was before taking on human form. He was in the spirit realm. And I told you when we walked through it weeks ago, Jesus, he gives his testimony in Luke, he said, I saw Satan fall. You know why I saw him fall? I was there. Right? I mean, it's a natural conclusion.
said, I saw him fall like lightning. Not only did he fall, all of the angels who followed him fell with him. So not only does Jesus know them, but they also know. You follow what I'm saying? But he forbids them to speak. And here's why. I'm going to give it to you quick because I'm running out of time. Oh, here it is. Jesus wanted no testimony to the truth from the demonic realm to fuel charges that he was somehow in league with or connected to Satan. I can't say it any plainer than that. That's why I wrote it down. I said, I'm going to let this just plain. The reason he forbids them to speak, even though when they spoke, they told the truth. It'd be different if they was lying. Be quiet, because you're like, no, they told the truth. But he said, I want you to be quiet because you represent a different kingdom than my father's. And if I allow you to keep talking about me, somebody may get the idea we're working. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, he's got a strategy. Say, guys, you guys got to be quiet. I don't want nobody getting the wrong idea about us. We're from the same sphere, the same realm, but we represent two different kingdoms. Are you with me? Here it is. 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. All right, listen to the strategy. But Jesus said to them, let us go into the next town. Cities, other places like Capernaum, are you following me? That I may what? Preach, teach, give exhortation, right? There also, for this purpose, I have come forth. Look at verse 39. Are you looking? Are you looking at me? Look at the word. It's in the word that here. Verse 39. And he was preaching where? He was preaching where? Watch this. I'm going to see how smart you are. Take a guess what day he was preaching on. The Sabbath. Now I get my church. Now this is my real church. This is how you put the word of God together. He done laid it out. Right? He went to other towns, other cities. Why? Because that's where people are. He waited till the Sabbath, right? Went into the synagogue and began to preach and teach out of the Old Testament scrolls. Look, and he did it town after town after town. He hit Philly, Camden, Baltimore, D.C., Atlanta, Coral Gables, Florida. I'm preaching and y'all don't even know it. Are you with me? So that's what he does. He's preaching and teaching synagogues. The text doesn't even say Sabbath, but we already know it. Why? Because of his strategy. If you got it, say I got it. Always the Sabbath. Always the synagogue. Always teaching. The healings and the miracles always came after. Never before. And I'm going to tell you why. This is important. Write this down. His message, then and now, is more important than his miracles. That's the whole sermon right there. You never see Jesus go in a town and start performing miracles first. He always went in on the Sabbath, went to the synagogue, and began teaching first. Why? His message was always more important. Because if he were to go into town and start doing miracles first, everybody would have wanted the miracle worker and not the Messiah. The Messiah is known by his message. You follow what I'm saying? So he always, that. Do you see the strategy? Do you see why his strategy was important? Look at somebody and say, he's got a strategy. If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. Let's bring it home. Because now we to the sermon. So now a leper came to him, imploring, kneeling, saying to him, if you are willing, make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hands and touched him, said to him, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Now, we already worked this out last Sunday. So if you missed it, go on YouTube, the website, somewhere and get it. I'm not going to re-preach it. But there's only one thing I want to note about this encounter. It was a private encounter. This is not on the corner of Broad and Main. This is a private encounter. How can I say that? One, anywhere the leper went, the leper couldn't go where other people were. He was forbidden by their own law. He couldn't go around people. He was unclean. So as a result, he kept out of the main flow of the city life. And if for whatever reason he just had to go, the Bible tells us that he had to say what? Unclean! Unclean! So I know it was a private encounter. You don't see any, you don't hear any mention of the crowds. You don't hear any mention of many, it's just Jesus and the leper. Right? Now, because the environment is different, he changes the strategy. Synagogue on Sabbath, masses of people. Private encounter with a leper. He does something different. Here it is. It's in your text. Stretched out his hands. He said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him. He was cleansed. Now watch. Here's the sermon right here. As soon as he's healed, the text says he warned him. Not just warned him, sternly warned him. And sent him away. Said, get out of here. Send him away. Why? Before people come around. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Soon as I finish, get out of here. I don't want nobody to see you here with me. This is odd. He just healed a man. Tells him, hey, listen, once I say this, get out of here. So here it is, verse 44, here it is. He said to him, see that you say nothing to anybody. Now, I don't know about you, but I had problems with this. Because on Easter, we stood up here and yelling and screaming, get the word out. Here Jesus saying, shut up, don't tell nobody. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me preach this Sunday. Either they're going to think you're crazy, or they're going to think I'm crazy, or we're both crazy. But look at somebody say he had a strategy. Here it is. He said, you, don't say anything to anybody. This is what I want you to do. go to the priest and do what Moses commanded to be done for your healing. Right? Leviticus, I gave it to you. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, really 14, talks about the sacrifice he had to bring as a sign of his healing. You can read that on your own time. I don't have time to get into it. So that's the deal. I don't want you to say nothing to anybody. Go right to the priest and offer what Moses commanded you to offer as a sign of your healing. The source of the leper's cleansing and his healing was Jesus. But that was to remain a secret. Watch this. He wasn't even allowed to tell the priest. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this up. But the leper was to show himself to the priest and offer those things which Moses commanded as a testimony of his cleansing, and to allow the priest to declare him cleansed and give God the glory for his healing. Did you follow that? Jesus said, you don't tell anybody. Do what is required of the law. Go to the priest and let the priest say. Let the priest say, you have been healed by the hand of God. You follow what I'm saying? Here it is. I'm out of time. But luckily I got Lillian's 13 minutes. I got time. I got more time. I can work. Here it is. Get it. Jesus did not want any attention for his miracles. He only wanted his message to be known. And that message was that the kingdom of God is at hand. And look, he had a witness, the priest himself. The priest could not deny that the leopard man had been healed. My real church would help me now. Here it is. Here's the sermon. I got one verse. Here it is, 45. However, in spite of being given a secret, this is in your Bible, the leper went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so much so that Jesus could no longer openly enter into a city, but was now restricted to staying outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. Here it is. The result of the leper's failure to keep a secret was that Jesus could no longer go from town to town, city to city, and enter freely into the synagogue on the Sabbath, by the way. Here it is. Why? Because of the leper's testimony, the people now wanted the miracle worker more than they wanted his message. Without the miracles having been performed, it allowed Jesus to get into the city, go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, come up to the pulpit, take the Old Testament scrolls, and preach the Word of God.
so that the people would receive his word first. Why? Because that was his strategy. And he entrusted a guy to keep his strategy secret. Now look, I don't blame the guy. I'm not being hard on him. It's easy to be hard on him. It's easy to jump on somebody after they already messed up. But can we be honest? It would have been on Facebook, Twitter. We would have been DMing cats. We would have been on the phone. We had group text going. Look, look at my skin. Look. Got a video. So I don't blame the guy. Because he didn't know the strategy of Jesus. Are you getting this? So when you're not aware of God's strategy, you can do something that you think is good and it'd be all wrong. Simply because you don't know God's. Are you with me? Can God, you, what about you? Can he trust you to keep it a secret? Here it is. I'll tell you this. You walk with God long enough, you'll find this to be true. There are some things that God will say and do that are just for you. You got to walk with him a while. There are some things that God will say and do that is just for you. And the challenge is whether or not you and I can keep it a secret. But I'm going to tell you something. The moment you let it out, you upset the strategy of God. Are you with me this Sunday? Look at somebody and say, he's got a strategy. Here it is. I'm finished. In spite of the leper's failure to keep the secret, in spite of the crowd's thirst for miracles, the Bible tells us that those who connected with his message came to him from every direction. Here's your preaching point. This is a part of the sermon. This is a part of the sermon. You can get happy. Even though the leper let the secret out and negatively impacted Jesus' strategy, God still got it done. I wish I had a real church. And let me tell you why that blesses me. I just told you. Because I am more often like the leper, where I too have been entrusted with a secret. And out of my joy and out of my excitement and out of my desire to share it, I tell something that God meant to be just for me. And when I should have been disqualified, when I should have been taken out of his will, God just adjusts his strategy. And he still gets the job done. The leper stayed healed. And the people kept on coming. Even though he was no longer in the synagogue, no longer coming on the Sabbath, but whom the Lord, whom the Father draws, they still came from every direction. Look at somebody and say, God's got a strategy. Here it is. And so I'm glad
even when I am unable to come out on the Sabbath for the Christian Sunday, even when I am unable to get to the synagogue for the Christian, the church, I can still connect with the Savior and His message. This is David, the psalmist. He says, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hidden." Look at somebody and say, "I got a secret." Yeah, some things you read out of the Word of God, it's just for you. It jumps out at you like nobody else. David said, "I know that feeling." He said, "That's why when I read your word," he said, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hidden down in my heart that I might not sin against you." Here it is. I'm finished. I'm wrapping it up. So the question this Sunday is whether or not God can trust you with a secret. Can God trust you with His word? Can God trust you with His message? Can God trust you with His plan and His purpose? Can God trust you to take Him and obey His word? Can God trust you to remain faithful? Can God trust you to follow after Him? Can God trust you to fear His name? Because the psalmist said, the fear of the Lord is with, the secret of the Lord is with those that fear Him. So the question for my church is whether or not God can trust you with His secret. Can God trust you with His strategy? Can God trust you with His plan and His purpose? Can God trust you with His will and His way? Because if you can keep it a secret, God will make it known publicly. He'll raise up somebody else to give testimony, to validate and give authenticity that this is the Lord's doing. And it is awesome in our sight. Can God trust you? Can God trust you with a healing? Can He trust you with a deliverance? Somebody in the church shout, yeah. Here it is. Here it is. I'm finished. Can God trust you with His secret? All too often, we look at it one way. We trust God with our secrets. But can God trust you with His? Here it is, and I'm done. Can God trust you with His strategy for your life? I went all around the corner to say that. Can He trust you with His strategy for your life? Are you able to? You know what one of my favorite scriptures is in the Bible? After receiving visitation from an angel, the Bible says this of Mary. I love it. It says, and she pondered these things in her heart. Does anybody know what that means? She kept it a secret. She didn't tell Joseph. I can prove it. God had to tell Joseph. Mary wouldn't. Why? What God gave her was for her. I can't tell anybody.
It wasn't until 6 months later when she knocked on Elizabeth's door. Up to then, she hadn't told nobody, said nothing to nobody. But when that babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb and they went into praise and worship, theologians call it the Magna Carta. She opened her mouth then, boy. She said, I got to let it out now. Now I got authority. Now I got permission. But all that time, she lived with the secret. Couldn't tell her family. Couldn't tell her fiance. None of her sisters, none of her brothers, none of the other women at the well. Every day going in with her mouth. Can God trust you with his? He had a strategy for Mary. The angel laid it out. Said, now that I told you, don't say nothing. Imagine getting a word from God and being restricted from speaking about it. The secret of the Lord are with those that fear him. If he can trust you with the strategy, here it is. I'm done. Jeremiah 29 and 11. You know this by heart. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. I got a strategy for your life. It's already, I've already worked it out. He said, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And all I need you to do is just keep it a secret. Don't tell nobody what God's going to do. Don't tell nobody what you're praying for. No, keep your mouth quiet. Let somebody else validate, prove, authenticate what God's doing in your life. Learn to keep your mouth shut and let God do it. Why? Because he's got a strategy. Part of that plan is you keeping quiet and let God work. Let the priest say. Let the people say. And all you got to do is just stand there. You ain't got to say nothing. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to go anywhere. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Can he trust you? What about you? Can he trust you? You? You got to answer this question. Your life hangs in the balance in response to this question. Shall we all stand? What are you going to do with the secret of God? We all know what we want him to do. We want him to fix it. We want him to keep it quiet. You don't want him to tell any of our family or friends what we did, where we were caught, what we were doing, when we were caught. God, keep it. Keep it a secret, God. And if he does that for you, what are you willing to do for him? With his plan, his purpose, his strategy for you. If you're here this Sunday, that's the word of God for you. Can you, are you willing to keep God's secret? If you are, he'll share it with you. You'll start reading the Word of God, and God's strategy will jump off the page. You'll be like, oh my God, look at what God is doing. Look at how God is doing it. That's his strategy. Now he's showing it to you, because now you've proved that, now you've proved that he can trust you. Won't you give your life to Christ today? He's got plans to do you good and not evil. Plans to prosper you. Give you a future. Give you a hope. How do you turn your back on that? How do you run your mouth about that? God said, all you got to do is keep it a secret. Just let me do it. Let somebody else talk about it. Let somebody else say what it is. But you and I will know the truth. If you're here this Sunday, whether in the sanctuary, whether in the overflow, if you're joining us online via YouTube or Facebook, why not give your life to Christ today? The Word of God says, the day you hear my voice, don't play hard to get. Not with God. Not with God. Today he's speaking. Today he opens the scrolls and says, today the scripture has been fulfilled for you. All you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is believe in him. Trust in him. Receive Christ Jesus into your heart today. Be saved from your sins. Receive a home up in heaven. Become a child of God. Lord, I receive you today. I receive your word. I receive your son. I receive your Holy Spirit. Fill me now. From the crown of my head down to the sole of my feet. Fill every part of me. Cause my spirit to be changed. Bring me out of the kingdom of darkness. Place me into the kingdom of the light of your beloved Son. And help me, Lord, to seek after, to walk after, to follow your word. Until one day, when your Son comes again, I'll see, I'll hear him, and I'll join him with the host of believers everywhere, and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Lord Jesus, I pray this prayer, not only for me, but for those that believe in you today. We accept you as our Savior, and we give you all of the praise. Somebody say amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor.
Can God trust you with a secret? Amen. Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather together through worship, through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, and also by the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. And to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those of us who are gathered in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets near the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering, and the other for the preacher of the hour. Please be a blessing to him and his home. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And at this time, we will have our announcements by Sister Anita Butler.
Good morning, family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today's announcement, the pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of the church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in the worship from your home. In response to the City of Philadelphia's most recent restrictions on religious services, we are now limited to 16 people in the sanctuary and 20 people on the third floor overflow area. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before you leave home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has been in contact with anyone who has the COVID virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice. Please keep this in mind so we can plan transportation accordingly. Pastor Ford is asking for your help to reopen the Tithe Center. He is asking that everyone give $100 or more this month to Turn in the Tithe. You can give online at www.turningthetithe.com/donate and click on the yellow donate button. Or you can mail it your check or money order to Turn in the Tithe, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those attending Sunday service, you can place your check or money order in the cash in an offering envelope and note that it's for Turning the Tide. The pastor, staff, and volunteers of Turning the Tide thank you for your continued support of our Community Technology Center. April 30th is YLE Family Game Night event at 7:30 p.m. I'm sorry. Y'all have a blessed day.
Shall we all stand? Everybody everywhere, I thank you for your patience. Always your attention and your attentiveness, not to me, but to the Word of God. But before we close out today, so glad to have yet another special guest with us here today. I'm going to ask young man Brian, if you don't mind, only if you're comfortable, if you would come up today and just join me here on the pulpit, if you're okay with that. Come on up. Let's give him a hand as he comes. We thank God for him. We thank God for him. You guys heard me talking before we got into the Word of God about the gun violence that our church has suffered. We talked about Cody Butts. We talked about his father, Joshua Butts. But this young man, Brian, was also in the same vehicle. This young man was also shot with bullets. But thanks be unto our God. In spite of the enemy's efforts, God still's got a strategy. He's got a strategy for this young man's life, a plan, a purpose to do him good, to prosper him, a future and a hope. So we thank God for what he has done, right? And today we're witnesses. Today we can tell his story about what God has done. Would you continue to pray for the families, the Butts, the Ellis, the neighborhood, the community, everybody affected by it. And be sure when you tell the story, tell them that God had a strategy. God kept his own son alive. Yeah, because he's got a plan and a purpose for his life. You don't know how glad we are to see you here today. God, we thank you. I got to take this mask off. I got to pray the way I want to pray. Lord, I thank you for what it is you have done. I thank you that you kept him, covered him, Oh my God, I thank you. In spite of the enemy's plan, in spite of the enemy's attack, God said no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. Today your word has been made true in our sight. I thank you for Brian. Thank you for his family. Thank you for Cody. Even though he's in the hospital, God, we know you're bringing him out. We declare it today in the name of Jesus that he's coming out alive. Hallelujah. Healed from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And God, what great things you have in store for these young men. Hallelujah. We thank you for your strategy and how you've preserved them and kept them and allowed them to come into the synagogue on the Sabbath to give your name the glory, to give God all the praise. So, Lord, we thank you. We adore you. We magnify you. God, we give you the glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap. Come on, everybody everywhere. Come on, sanctuary, overflow, at home in your kitchen, at home in your living room. Give the Lord God a praise.